So everything was perfect. It was all great. You know, I was working with people I loved. I was doing a job that I love. I really felt I was making a difference, but at the same time, it was challenging. So I was in the process of trying to convince my family it was a good idea to move. It was just, there was a lot of complications. And at the end of the day, I drive into work and I say a prayer of surrender. I was like, God, this, you brought me here. And this is what I thought I was supposed to do. I thought I was following all the rules. I thought I was following all the directions, but it's way harder than it's supposed to be. You know, so I'm going to put this back on you. You fix this. And his way of fixing it was literally 7 hours later, at the end of that very day, after I prayed that prayer of surrender on the way to work, I got called into the office and saying, hey, you know, this is it. This is your last day. We're gonna pull the plug on this experiment. And I was just stunned. I was just like, what in the world? This is not what I meant when I said, fix this, God. You know, you're supposed to make this easier. But it was an amazing opportunity for me to be able to really understand what trust means. So literally the next day, I was like, okay, this is really what trust means. It's not about doing things my way, but it's about doing things your way.
Hello, friends. My name is Joe Ferris, and I want to personally welcome you to the Foxhole. Today, you're going to be treated with a holy conversation I had with a pretty big celebrity in the Catholic world that not a lot of people have seen. I mean, this guy has been a big guy behind the scenes at Our Sunday Visitor, at Dynamic Catholic, and now at Loyola Press. And he's one of those people that you don't always see up front, but who knows everyone, and everyone knows him. I think most importantly today, though, is he chatted with us about middle age. You know, a season of life that all of us are going to go through, for the most part, hopefully, and a season of life that we don't speak about a lot in the church, a time where men see changes in their jobs and their families and their marriages and in themselves. And John does a great job opening that up and encouraging us and inspiring us during the process. He had a lot more to say about a lot of stuff. I think you're going to be excited to hear this conversation today. And I just want you to know that I'm honored that you've downloaded the podcast, and I encourage you to share it with someone who might be encouraged by it as well. Let's pray. In the name of the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, amen. Lord, open my mouth and my lips may proclaim your praise. Come, Holy Spirit. Jesus, I love you. I pray, Jesus, for John, for his family, for the work that he's done for the church, God. First and foremost, just I'm honored to have spent time with him in the foxhole. I pray, God, that as he speaks to each of us that have entered the season of midlife, that we are open to the encouragement and the challenges that he gave to us. I pray, God, for anyone who's downloaded the podcast, I pray that you're close to them. And I pray, Lord, that as they go through whatever season of life they're in, that they know that they are loved and that they are close to your heart. I ask all these things to the Sacred Heart of Jesus, the Immaculate Heart of my Mother Mary. And I ask for the prayers of servant of God, Father Emil Capon. In the name of the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen. John Christensen, welcome to the Foxhole, my friend.
Thanks, Joe.
It's a great honor to have you. I'll tell everyone listening, there's like a 7 degrees of separation in the Catholic world. And some people you see in our household names, and then there are other people who just know everyone. And that's who I have with me today. This guy is so connected to the Catholic. I think he's a background Catholic celebrity, but I want to have John kind of tell you a little about who he is, how he found his way into Catholic publishing, how he came to know the Lord, a little bit about his family. So, John, you take over your introduction and tell us a little bit about who is John Christensen for those listening.
Wow, that's a big question, Joe. I was just excited to be able to work my way into your busy schedule. So I thought if this is the only way I can talk to you, then I'm in. Sign me up for the show. So, again, you're giving me way too much credit. My world has been pretty simple, you know, just sort of saying yes when the opportunity comes up. But I've been in publishing for a long, long time. You know, it really started from college, really. My journalism degree, I always wanted to be helpful in telling stories. But coming out of college, you know, really what I fell in love with was publishing. You know, stories really change lives. And from a publishing standpoint, we can really systematically make sure that the messages are out there and that we're asking the right questions and we're highlighting the right people to be inspired. And so I've been blessed to be able to spend a lot of time with secular newspapers, as well as Catholic publishers, secular magazines. So Our Sunday Visitor, Dynamic Catholic, and a new opportunity that's starting out just now is actually with Loyola Press. So I've been really blessed to be what some people call a professional Catholic, if you will, and be in the market to help other people grow in their faith. But my family's growing. We're in Fort Wayne, Indiana. So it's a hotspot that's really connected to lots of bigger cities around it. But my oldest just got married this last year, which has been a big change. Totally wasn't ready to be a father-in-law. Means I'm old now, I guess, Joe, just like you. So, and then my youngest is in high school, and my middle daughter just graduated college. So lots of changes around with the family, but that's my story, at least as of today.
Yeah, John said old like me. This guy runs, you know, 20 miles a day, eats clean and healthy. So I'm gonna appreciate that he connected me to him with that. But he's super healthy. So John, a little bit about the publishing world that I wanna dive in with you. I think it's easy during COVID for us to consistently talk about all the terrible things going on in our world and in our church and in our lives and our communities. And you, for me, have been one of these people. When I talk to you, it's always seeing the positive. And I know that your view is probably different than most people's, in that you see the whole church in the United States, in the sense that you deal with publishers and authors and church leadership. So I would love, at the very outset of our conversation, for you just to speak into what you're seeing that's positive in the church. We're exhausted with the problem. We are aware there are problems. Where are you seeing light? Where are you seeing opportunity?
It's a great question, Joe. And I think the way you asked it too is really important when you acknowledge that we're aware of the problem. I think systemic issues are real, and we have to start there, that we can't just kind of bury our heads saying they don't exist. But then it's a matter of what we do with them, right? So you know, as we look at, and you can apply this to anywhere, systemic issues in the church with the abuse or systemic issues with racism or the Me Too movement or whatever you want to, I mean, those are real, and we need to acknowledge the pain that people have felt and the trauma they have felt. But at the same time, how do we as individuals take responsibilities? And that's where I have hope, is that the church, what's beautiful about it is it's made up of individuals. And there's so many individuals and ideas and people and service, and how do we take responsibility? Just like Jesus took responsibility for our sins, even though he didn't cause our sins, he didn't do our sins, but he took responsibility on the cross, and we can all take that same approach. So what can I do? And instead of saying, what can the church do for me? How can I serve the church and be part of the solution? Because at the end of the day, faith has to be local. So faith has to be what I do to the people I come across at work, or the people I come across, strangers that I come across. So to me, there's so many opportunities and so many different possibilities. We don't have to do things the same way. So the creativity, where I always enjoy having conversations with you, Joe, is that there's new ideas and we just talk about it. And as two just individuals, we can make a difference in the lives around us. So it doesn't have to be a one-size-fits-all or a silver bullet that fixes things or changes things, but systemic issues aren't going to be solved by a new policy or a new law or a new rule, but it will be changed by individuals wanting to make a difference, individuals acknowledging other people's pain, individuals willing to walk a journey with people to find solutions and really, I don't want to say happiness, because happiness is sort of makes it too light, but how do they find a path forward? Because your path is different than my path. My path is different than, you know, my neighbor's path. But together, if we're going in the same direction, that's where I find the hope.
So let's talk about Catholic authors and Catholic folks that are speaking. I mean, you talked about it. You dropped three pretty big hitters: Our Sunday Visitor, Dynamic Catholic, and then you ended with Loyola Press. So tell me about a couple of Catholic authors that those listening can tune into that you think are speaking the language forward. I mean, I'm not trying to get you to call out anybody where you feel like, oh my gosh, I shouldn't have done that. But is there a couple of people that you read or that you would say to folks reading, hey, here's somebody you can connect to that might help you see the church in a new way or in a more exciting, more positive way?
You know, that's a hard one. As you said, I do run a lot, and as I run, I listen to a lot of, so I churn through a lot of books. And so my thing that it doesn't have to be a Catholic book per se. So it's interesting to ask that question because I think, you know, my parish actually just invited you to come speak, Joe. So I think we can just lock in you as the genius for the Catholic Church. But seriously, there's so many opportunities. It's not one voice, and sometimes it's not even a Catholic voice. So, for example, I just finished a book by Adam Grant, and he wrote about Think Again, is the name of the book, and it talks about what do we need to unlearn. So many times there's so much information coming at us that we lock down our beliefs instead of really continue to research and see the new information that's coming. So in addition to adding things to our minds, what do we need to take away? Or there's another author, Scott Stillman. He wrote his book called Wilderness, Gateway to the Soul. And he talks about his experiences of just observation and looking as he camps in these amazing wilderness places, and how that drives his spirituality, how he understands God in a different way. So sometimes faith and church can sort of sneak up on us in other ways. And this is what I think Loyola Press does really well, and just the Ignatian spirituality of finding God wherever he is. So we can look and just observe and see God. And so, Joe, I think you do this really well too in your Instagram posts where you, the sunrise of the day. I love that. And it's the same thing. That's what Wilderness is talking about from Scott Stillman. But then on top of that, I am reading a great book on the Ignatian Way by Chris Loney. He's also got another great book about Pope Francis, why he leads the way he leads. And a lot of it is about Ignatius spirituality. So I've been really amazed at that part of it recently because it's somewhat new to me. I haven't really dove into it. So the amount of time and effort and examples that they show from a discernment process, from finding God in ways that you don't understand and really allowing that transformation to happen patiently. We don't always know where the path is, but we know that God has us on a path. And that's the most important takeaway.
I think that's authentic Catholic spirituality, right? To not run from the world, but to find God in the world.
Exactly.
And I think there's a tendency in the Catholic world, let's just hide and we'll be great, you know, and I don't think that's helpful at all. So I'm going to switch gears with you. You mentioned that we're both middle-aged men, and I can't believe I just said that out loud, but middle age is a weird time, right? You're switching from your children are getting married, your jobs, even with COVID, there's some job insecurity in the world. Your relationship to your bride evolves or turns sideways or changes for sure. So, I mean, you're an educated guy, you're an observant guy, you've been around a long time. Speak to the middle-aged men a little bit about your experience and how you might advise them, because I think that's an area that we don't even talk about in the church.
I love this question, Joe. This is my favorite one, and I think I could speak all day on this one, because I think what's happening is that, especially as in middle age, we're expected to have it all figured out. And we're expected, and we have this idea that we've hit a ceiling at middle age. So at middle age, technically, we're supposed to be in the perfect career that we've always wanted. We're supposed to have all the answers. We're supposed to, we're sort of locked in on what our health situation is, that it's only going to get worse. We're locked in with our friend group. So everything's supposed to be locked in and just set by routines. But the reality, I think, is this ceiling is just one of the biggest myths that we run into, is that we're just beginning at middle age, in my opinion. You know, I didn't start running until I was about age 40. I had played sports all my life, but my rule on running was only run when being chased. But once I hit 40, I was like, hey, I'm not getting enough pickup games in. So we have that opportunity to reinvent ourselves. And there's things like Exodus 90 and other programs like that that just challenges us to bring and try new things. So if we can accomplish that, what else can we accomplish? So my aha moment was actually literally getting fired from our work together at Dynamic Catholic, you know? So everything was perfect. It was all great. You know, I was working with people I loved. I was doing a job that I love. I really felt I was making a difference, but at the same time, it was challenging. So I was in the process of trying to convince my family it was a good idea to move. It was just, there was a lot of complications. And at the end of the day, I drive into work and I say a prayer of surrender. I was like, God, this, you brought me here. And this is what I thought I was supposed to do. I thought I was following all the rules. I thought I was following all the directions, but it's way harder than it's supposed to be. You know, so I'm going to put this back on you. You fix this. And his way of fixing it was literally 7 hours later, at the end of that very day, after I prayed that prayer of surrender on the way to work, I got called into the office and saying, hey, you know, this is it. This is your last day. We're going to pull the plug on this experiment. And I was just stunned. I was just like, what in the world? This is not what I meant when I said, fix this, God, you know, you're supposed to make this easier. But it was an amazing opportunity for me to be able to really understand what trust means. So literally the next day I was like, okay, this is really what trust means. It's not about doing things my way, but it's about doing things your way. So to get to the middle age part, I had to start over at age, whatever I was, 47, 48, whatever age I was. And that's real. That's a little bit more hardcore than I hope everybody else feels at age 48 when they want to start over. But the reality is that that's okay. Whether we're starting over or whether we're trying a new thing or we're making a new friend or we're having different conversations or we're reading new books, whatever the case is, there is no ceiling. There's no max out that, hey, my life is on the downside once I hit age 45 or 50. It's on the upside. We have more knowledge. We have more disposable income. We have more relationships. We have more connections. We can start over and do anything we want. And that's, I think, the myth that we need to really break through for what middle age really means.
So, John, I know the prayer. I think I know the prayer you're talking about. And I want you to share it in a minute. Maybe you can remember. I know you don't remember exactly what it was or how you found it, but I'd love for our audience to be able to find it. I just finished a book. I think it's called The Comfort Crisis or something. And it's just about how we have become so comfortable in our lives and our world. And, you know, we have 72 degree houses and warm showers and where, you know, and nothing is uncomfortable. And for me, that was what Exodus 90 did. It just pushed me to a little bit of discomfort. And that moment you're talking about. So do you remember the prayer and that maybe I can send our audience out to find it?
Yeah. Thanks for putting me on the spot for that one, Joe. My world is not nearly as black and white as other people's. So in fact, my wife and I joke about this all the time because her world's much more black and white and I'm way more comfortable in the gray. And even something as simple as the favorite things they have to make fun of me for is that I have no idea of what words are to any song whatsoever. So the songs and the music all blend together, but they have no concept other than happy birthday that I have no idea what any words, any songs are. So my prayer life is actually really spur of the moment. So there's very rarely do I say one specific prayer that I just say over and over and over again. So in this case, it was more of a, I have this rosary app that I listen to. And so I got through the rosary. And then at that point, it was just more of almost a frustration. Just, hey, literally, I surrender. We're done. I don't know where the wheels fell off or how the wheels fell off, but this is more complicated than it's supposed to be. And I'm turning this bad boy over to you, God. So, that was the simplicity of it. It wasn't necessarily a specific prayer that I said. I spoke to my heart.
No, those are the most authentic prayers, right? Where you're just bleeding. Anyone listening, if you go back to Father Joel a couple of episodes ago, he spoke of the novena of surrender. And I've been praying that over and over every 9 days. It's been a real powerful thing for me. So you can look it up, you can Google novena of surrender, or you can just be like John. Just push the boat off the dock and let it go. But be careful, because the more you trust, man, the more he may require you to trust. We're getting short on time, and I want to make sure I hit a couple other things with you, John. I've mentioned to you before, and you know this is coming. I had a similar tough experience in the work world, hit a wall hard, never saw it coming. And the first phone call I made leaving the office was not to my wife or to my parents or to some, it was you. And it was because I knew you'd have the right words. I knew you'd have positive words. And what basically I'm saying to you is I knew that you understood accompaniment. And this is Father Capon's podcast in the end of the day. And he accompanied his guys in tough times, easy times, happy times, rough times. How would you speak to guys, middle age for sure, but just to anyone listening right now, how have you developed that in yourself, this ability to walk with other people and be present and be an encouragement? Speak into that a little bit for our audience.
So two things. One is as an introvert, it's a wonderful, beautiful thing. In fact, my best comfort level is if you and I would be switching seats on this podcast, Joe, so I could be asking you the question and encouraging you. So as an introvert, that's just my natural perspective. But as a human being, it's so incredibly humbling when people open up and share their story. And until that happens, you just don't know the power that and the humility and the just, it just comes out in droves in terms of that feeling of giving and being able to help somebody and encourage somebody on their journey and know that they're telling you something that from a place of vulnerability. So we've actually done that with the City Magazine that I do right now. And it's been, and to share that with the community, you wouldn't believe the amount of feedback, positive feedback of just others. This is where stories change lives, and the ability to help somebody come to grips with what they're going through is an unbelievable gift from God, to be able to be there and listen and not solve anything, but just listen and just encourage and support and return the gifts that you're giving and see it as a gift. So leadership isn't about having all the answers. Leadership is about having the right questions. So those are things. And again, my ability to help you, Joe, was in return for the way that you helped me along the way. So it's not a one-way street. You know, it's not when somebody comes to you with an issue as you grow in relationship with others, that's where things like Christ Renews His Parish or Exodus 90 or going together as a team or what the Father Capon did with his peers was just, we're not in this alone. Jesus was not in this alone. You and I aren't in this alone. How do we grow with our family, with strangers even, because we have to go through this together. And when somebody chooses me to be able to say, hey, I've got a very painful, difficult question or story, then all I can do is embrace that and be appreciative that they trust me enough to listen.
Now I think if we're pulling out what John just told you, it is just listening. It's not super complex. It's paying attention to the folks around you and really listening, and sometimes not commenting. I don't remember the advice you gave. I just remember that you answered. You know, that's all it takes for the most part. You're connected as well to Rekindle the Fire. Mm-hmm. I know those guys. You're part of our friends at Rekindle. We did the battle with them, and it was incredible. And they're all just incredibly good men. Would you mind for a second? I know you don't like curveballs, and I'm throwing you another curveball. But I'd love to hear you speak a little bit into what Rekindle has meant to you. I know you've done some work. You've been to some of their conferences. I know we were together at one. So tell me a little bit about what you see, because I think their audience is our audience sometimes on this podcast as well. And I'd love for them to get a little bit of encouragement about the things that they're doing.
Yeah, you know, this goes back to my introversion. You know, what I love most about Rekindle is it's a safe space. You know, we try to keep things, we make things so complicated sometimes. And especially as men, and for me as an individual, I can't speak for everybody. Some people it's much easier to talk about themselves. For me, it's not. And to be vulnerable and to show vulnerability when everybody expects you to have all the answers and be perfect, I need an opportunity and a space and people that I know will support that vulnerability and me sharing things or asking questions or sharing what's frustrating or the fact that I just don't know that, hey, I'm struggling with take your pick. I'm struggling with my relationship with my wife. I'm struggling with where my kids are going or not going. I'm struggling with how I'm being treated at work. I'm struggling with all the questions that are going on in the world. And so what Rekindle does is it's a place for people to come together and share, number one. So I see that's the biggest gift. And then obviously there's all sorts of icing on the cake in terms of let's learn together, let's grow together, let's serve together, let's study the word together, let's pray together. So all of that is icing on the cake for me personally. That's what I get, is I can grow in journey with these individuals that care. And that's a rare thing in this world. You know, if you look at, you know, your work peers, as you look at your friend groups, everybody's positioning, and I'm the worst at this too. You know, you get the sarcasm going, you get the jokes going, you get making fun of people going, and it's just, we keep hiding from what really is painful in our life, and we keep pushing it away and we compartmentalize. And that's what I really appreciate about Rekindle.
All right, John, I'm going to give you something we don't give to all our guests, but I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to give you 90 seconds. Whatever we didn't cover, like, I know you're a big time guy, so this could go on a bit, but I'm going to give you a second just to share anything for, you know, I've told you before, our audience is mainly men who are just ordinary guys trying to live extraordinary lives. And so share a little bit, maybe something we didn't talk about or something you'd want to share with them as we close.
Yeah, thanks, Joe. And also thanks for pretending that I'm the only one who asked that question. So I appreciate that. I feel really special. So to me, one of the recent things that really came front and center to me is this holy simplicity. And I've been reading this book, Padre Pio's Spiritual Direction for Every Day. And actually, it found me rather than I found it. But one of the aha moments that I just had last week was I read this passage about for no other reason than to please God. And I know that I'm not alone in my willingness or ability to complicate the world and make things more difficult than I need to be. And that's, I think, one of the great things that Matthew Kelly and Dynamic Catholic does, is simplifies things, but for no other reason to please God. It's really not about mimicking or outdoing the saints, but really just putting our own personal talents and gifts to the service of God's plan. And then also keeping in mind that it's not a race and that I don't always have to be driving. So whether that's literally driving the car or whatever the case is, I don't have to be in charge, that it's okay to do everything for no other reason than just to please God. And that's been a mantra that I've been kind of living with and owning for the last little while as I move forward into a new adventure at Loyola Press. So I think that's something that, again, has been working for me, is that how do we simplify, and really keep spirituality accessible? So that's my 90 seconds of truth. You know, how do we simplify things and not overthink it?
Well, how about you pray us off the podcast, John, and know that we're praying for you, Caven's Men's praying for you, praying for the work you're going to be doing at Loyola Press. And I personally am praying for you and your family, and consider you guys friends.
Thank you, Joe. Right back at you. So this is a prayer of St. Ignatius. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord Jesus Christ, take all my freedom, my memory, my understanding, and my will. All that I have and cherish, you have given me. I surrender it all to be guided by your will. Your grace and your love are wealth enough for me. Give me these, Lord Jesus, and I ask for nothing more. Amen.
John, thanks for coming on the podcast and being willing to talk about yourself. Not for your own glory or pride, but to help build others up. You spoke a lot about doing things on a local level, not trying to solve all the world's problems, but listening, engaging, encouraging the people around us. Our challenge this week is to try to live that by living out the phrase that you recently came across, to do everything for no other reason than to please God. If that's our focus, then He will bring about the outcomes that are fitting and that bear fruit. Thanks for listening, and until next time, stay humble and stay courageous.
We can surely expect that in our own lives there will come a time when we must make a choice between being loyal to the true faith or of giving allegiance to something else which is either opposed to or not in alliance with our faith. O God, we ask of Thee to give us the courage to be ever faithful to Thee, Blessed are they who suffer persecution for justice' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. May the blessing of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit descend upon all of you. Amen.